Okay, FIFA Ramble number 63.
Number 63, we are in.
There sorted. Thanks for joining us, everyone.
Thank you again. Yeah, thank you very much for joining us. This week, we are sponsored proudly by Gary's Bug Exterminator. The difference with this bug extermination company is that Gary will actually, he goes to the trouble of shrinking himself down to bug size and combat the bugs in their own area.
I don't think that's possible.
He's done it.
No.
He's done it. He's paying us money. Let him think what he wants.
Gary's bug service. Bug exterminator. Is if you've got bugs in your rugs,
yeah.
Call Gary. That's Gary's.
And he's definitely done it.
Bug service.
Hello, I'm Bill Pip. Do you own a house? Then you must own a floor. Did you know that bugs are terraforming your carpet and rug right now? If you want to get rid of bugs, Gary will shrink himself down and battle in your rug. Gary's extermination program of bugs.
There are bugs in my rug, and I think they're gonna kill me.
It was too late for Bill Pip. Didn't see them coming. First, the ants carried my wife outside. She struggled. And then the fleas started jumping on her over and over again. She passed out. And then my daughters. Oh, God. The ants just pulled her underground. Don't let it happen to your family. I'm Bill Pip.
All right. Thanks, Gary. If you've got bugs in your rug, speak to Gary. And that's that.
Gary's your man.
Do you want to talk some football?
Yeah, let's talk some football.
I've got some other Spurs stuff to throw in. Do you want to do that?
Yeah, let's start with some Spurs.
Okay. What was your prediction for that game? Spurs-Chelsea.
I thought it was going to be really difficult, but I thought Chelsea would be too much at the start. I did think Chelsea would overrun them in midfield. It didn't quite work out that way.
No, I think it was. I thought Spurs were tactically astute. The one thing, Chelsea fans are up in arms. They legitimately lost, right?
They got hammered.
Like, they had an off day. Back off.
Yeah, I can't believe.
It's not an issue.
Yeah, to be fair, there's a lot of Chelsea fans and a lot of the media have just made a massive deal out of Chelsea finally losing a game. It's like they've only lost once.
Yeah, and that was down. I thought Spurs did their research. I thought Jorginho was blocked out the game, and I didn't think Kante was suited for that. He just had a bad day.
The thing with Jorginho is that with Spurs, what they realised was if you man mark Jorginho with two players, maybe three at a time, when it's as soon as he gets the ball, close him down immediately. Like such a high press.
Straight away.
Yeah, such a high press on one guy. That Sarri after the game said they tactically didn't play how I had set up for our team. And he came out and said it. He said, look, they don't usually play that formation and they've tried a different tactic, which I didn't see coming. And he was like, they weren't tactically aware enough.
Yeah.
Especially Kante, he sort of had a pop, really.
Do you know who's a scapegoat, which just does my head in so much? Willian.
Yeah.
Everyone was really tagging him into having a bad performance. I think he's one of those sort of languid, casual, classy players that goes when they're on form. They've got attacking prowess, and those performances go unnoticed, but they were just knocking him for not tracking back enough. It's like, everyone should do that, granted, but it's not what he does. And so to tap into
his
performance there, I think is unjust, because I thought Spurs' tactics were really good.
They were very solid, and they deserved their win. Their tactics were really good. Pochettino got it right. But, you know, it's one game.
One thing as well, though, definitely has that penalty. That was a definite penalty.
Yeah.
You think?
Yeah.
And an integral moment. So there's other factors as well. One other thing, though, again, not much has been said, but now's the time to get Sonny Boy, Heung-min Son, in your fantasy football teams.
Right,
because he's one of those underrated players.
Yeah, well, when we talked a few weeks ago, we said about two of those players that we've just mentioned being highly underrated in Willian and son now. Mm-hmm. You know, he's got to be in there. It's he goes so unnoticed what son actually does, but he's world class. Like he's genuine world class.
Yeah,
he's, you know, he is definitely underrated, and Willian as well. You know. We could go on about underrated players in those two groups.
It's too early for scapegoats, and we'll go into the scapegoat mentality a bit later on, because I've got other examples of this nonsense.
Yeah, there's been a few of them.
Nonsense. Blame someone. We need a head on a plate.
Yeah.
We need blood.
Hi, guys. It's Luke here from the FIFA Ramble podcast. I'm having a whisper and be quiet because I'm hiding in a wardrobe. I just told Harry Redknapp that Nico Kranjčar was overrated. He's fuming. He hasn't taken it well. Just wanted to drop by and say don't forget to go follow us on Instagram and Twitter at the FIFA Ramble. Go like our Facebook page, the FIFA Ramble, and go subscribe to us on YouTube, the FIFA Ramble. Go like, subscribe, share, tell your mum, your dad, your friends, your work colleagues, even the ones you don't like, your neighbours, go tell everybody. But whatever you do, do not tell Harry Redknapp that Nico Kranjčar was overrated. Oh my God, he's got a knife.
Let's talk Jose.
Man United.
Before we do though, could you give me a brief explanation of what XG is?
Okay. XG is calculating where a player has to be to score a higher percentage of the time.
I mean, it's not for me, I already know what XG is.
You obviously already know, you know, we've talked about it before. Talked about it in grazing shed. But yeah, that's essentially it. It's where a player has to be to score the highest percentage of goals based on goals previously scored.
Okay, that's useful.
Yeah. It is useful. It's not useful at the minute, XG, about being a Man United fan.
Man United fan. Yeah, so that is the state. That's
I'm
the situation.
Here in a Man United shirt from the 1958 Champions League or European Cup final.
I've never seen a more pressured and stressed out squad than that.
No, well, look, the problem is, we're linking it back to the XG slightly. Jose Mourinho has annoyed me beyond belief this week. The last few weeks.
And we were always for Jose.
Yeah, we were. But the last few weeks, he's annoyed me beyond belief. Because he's turned everything into this, it's them against me.
Yeah.
Yeah, it obviously is there. But now it's got to the point where you just go, right, okay, as a Man United fan, I'm not saying we have to be winning. That's not what I'm saying, because I've been spoiled as a Man United fan. But the fact is, based on last season, teams are scoring an expected, well, on average, half a goal more per game against us than last year. So it's gone up on XG terms from about a 1... to 1.5 that go, you know, that they'll score against
us. I think you're being a bit too harsh on
our
on
expected
Mourinho
goals scored has gone down. It's the worst start to our season in 28
years. One better than Moyes, but look, I think it's too harsh on Mourinho, especially after we've spoken in great depth about the mental strength to come through something like that, and he is just showing a bit too much of the pressure. And we saw it.
But I think there's an element of calculation in this now. Because,
obviously.
Yeah, but
it's mind games. It's all to the point. It's all psychological.
Yeah, but it's almost like mind games against us as Man United fans. That's the thing now. Because he's basically, after last night in the Champions League, when they won, and it was a last minute Fellaini, and it was like, oh, this could be a great moment. Brilliant. And what does he do in the post-match interview?
Okay.
He says, I've qualified from every Champions League group I've ever managed in.
Okay.
Except the year I wasn't in it when I won the Europa League. It's like, it's not about you.
Guess what I'm doing
You're
here.
Playing boring football.
Guess what I'm doing?
White Rabbit.
I am playing Devil's Advocate. This is the international sign language for devil.
Okay.
So I'm playing the language of the devil right now
Yeah, okay.
with you, with Mourinho.
Yeah.
okay, let's see this step back a little bit and take the see this for what it actually is. So the tactic set up from him last night, right?
Yeah
got to a stage where I was like, why didn't you start Sanchez? Starting like a massive debate of him just turning up this, that and the other, and why are you not starting your best players this, that and the other. His choice, his way of being, kept a clean sheet. His player, Fellaini, is his player to utilise in that factor, come through for him. So the tactics, no matter how awful and long ball and terrible to watch they are, it got the job done from a Mourinho decision. He made those decisions. So that outcry of emotion just actually signifies a hell of a lot. I mean, take a step back. Again, another step back. That's two step back.
We're taking two steps back.
Just as the last step back. He is just qualified for the last 16 of the Champions League. Yeah. Let's sink in for just a sec. No matter what they did last week, we're going to chat about the Crystal Palace game a lot.
He's got it.
I'm all for Mourinho here on this, because that squad, look, it's early days in the season. Everyone's going, why didn't you do your best players? Why didn't you put murking him off? When you play this, that and the other, I mean, the fixture list they've gone through to get to this point is like pretty harsh. The Crystal Palace game, there's a lot of players rested. They were like De Gea pulled through awesome saves, but the thing is, they haven't got the squad of much caliber.
Yeah, no,
he needs to use and utilise what he's got, and I think Mourinho's doing that, and I think it's highly impressive to get through to the last 16, and no one's actually said how great a feat that is because of this against you mentality. It's like, he's really put it on now, like, okay, well, if you're going to come at me like the Newcastle game and you come after me, well, this is it. You've just declared like an actual bit of warfare.
My problem with this is that
it doesn't benefit you.
Fine. Okay, he's playing this game.
Comes ego.
But
even.
Yeah, but he's qualified for the last 16 of the Champions League, playing boring football.
Yeah, but you're there. You're missing the point.
No, but we won't.
You're missing the point.
No, it's not. He's out of 11 home games played this season, we've won 4 of them.
All right, people,
that's
comment on this if you've got a decision, because I can't settle this without a punch up.
No, there's 4 out of we've won 4 home games.
You're
out
looking
of 11
so Nick, I think people should be like appreciating what is actually happening there.
I think with that depleted
squad, they look terrified. That squad, I've never seen them so under pressure. And you know another thing which I really hate, the such high levels of expectation which is on Marcus Rashford right now. Right, he is performing for his age. He's performing very well to a very high standard.
Oh, he's a great player.
And even if he missed a few chances last night and whatever else, he's still getting better as time goes on.
He's superb.
But you can see it. We can see a perfect example transition of this when he plays for England, when it looks like all pressure is removed from him. Now, why was everyone so harsh on him, and why are they so quick to also scapegoat like Anthony Martial all really quickly?
The problem is, with you mentioning England, it's interesting in that the Man United players at the minute look as though they're players who stay home with their parents and they're bored. Or they stay home with their partners and they're bored. And then once a week, once every 2 months, they get to go away with their mates to like Malaga. That's the difference between the Man United squad and the England squad at the minute. The England squad is a week in Malaga with your mates. And the Man United squad is home alone at 16 with your mum and dad doing nothing because you've got no friends.
What a picture you've painted.
Yeah, the atmosphere difference is remarkable.
Mm.
I have nothing to say. I have nothing to say. I'm so sorry, I have nothing to say.
At all.
No. Nothing. I cannot say.
Can we just talk Arsenal for a second?
Yeah.
Can we just try that?
We can.
Will that kill you to do that?
No.
Can we do that? Yeah?
Let's talk Arsenal.
Okay, let's talk Bournemouth first, because let's...
They've had two really difficult games.
Bournemouth or Arsenal?
Yeah, Bournemouth.
Bournemouth, I've never seen a...
They've had...
I've never seen a own goal like that. Yeah. Lemar one.
If
Nick Hancock was still doing his best of on a VHS, that own goal would make it.
Yeah, shout out to Lerma, who 2 weeks ago...
Shout out!
Shout out to Lerma. because I said a few weeks ago that he was one of the best players in the Bournemouth squad.
He rocketed that.
He did that, yeah. He got sent off as well after I did that. Since I praised him live on air, he's got sent off and he scored that own goal.
Yeah, it was a great.
I genuinely think he's one of the best players in the squad.
Cursed him. That was just the time of a game, and the best part of that was like watching all the Bournemouth players' reaction in slow motion to like,
yeah,
how was that thing?
How was that?
And then Eddie, how's that? How?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's good time.
Eddie, how's that?
And to even Eddie's face just being like, okay, right.
Yeah.
Now we're up against it, and they actually never gave up. They never ever gave up.
No, they didn't. Look, they've got a good side, Bournemouth. They've got a really good side.
Yeah. Love that Josh Hingle. That was sweet as a cherry.
Yeah. I like it. They're full of it tonight. But
that was a great team goal. But off the back of that, Arsenal just stepped it up. Hang on, they clung
on.
Who
stepped up? I reckon the most out of the entire Arsenal squad.
Toria.
No, Iwobi.
That I was like, I made a little note. It just says that Iwobi pass.
Iwobi, we talked about his passes a few weeks ago.
Yeah, was it Gao was anti Iwobi?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He was anti Iwobi. We've said,
if you're listening.
Yeah, Gareth. As previous guest, Captain Gareth. Yeah, he was against it. He was against Iwobi. I think Iwobi has been, because obviously Torreira's been really good. And Guendouzi's been good. We all know this. But Iwobi was already there. So for him to, I don't want to say buy in,
to adapt to this new manager
so quickly and it to improve his game, this is, again, it's an area which, there's a lot of managers. Mourinho is one of them. They're not coaches. They're managers. And then you get a few people who are head coaches. A head coach is like Guardiola and Klopp, and as we're now seeing, Unai Emery.
Shall I tell you?
He's coached Iwobi into one of the most adept centre midfielders in the league. I've been really impressed with him.
The other thing about Unai, mm-hmm. Should I throw a quick fact your way?
Fact. Yeah.
That's the fact. Unai Emery watches Peaky Blinders to try and improve his English.
Nice.
Fact.
That's mad. Is it not his behaviour though?
Maybe he's like he's got the old
his demeanour.
Yeah, he's got a little.
Yeah,
on.
Okay.
Maybe he's doing that. If he starts wearing flat caps, then we're
the only what I like.
Arsenal were lucky. Fair dues to Portsmouth.
Arsenal,
was a good game.
No, I don't think they were. I don't think Arsenal were lucky. I think Arsenal, as I said a few weeks ago, those are the sort of games that Wenger would have lost.
I just roll my eyes.
Yeah, I know, but it's a fact. Arsenal,
you can't be fact.
No, because
there's no way that can be fact.
Right.
That's a ridiculous thing to say.
Every time I say this, you go into fan TV mode.
Yeah.
Because at the end of the day, you were a soft-bellied side. That's the fact. Like United were, David Moyes.
Was my uncle.
Yeah, well, you were getting beaten when you shouldn't have been getting beaten by sides that shouldn't have been beating you under Wenger. And what I'm saying is it's because Wenger stopped coaching the players and became a manager. Unai Emery's come in and gone, right, we're going to have some coaching. Who's got some coaching in you today, boys? Yeah. And they flourished under it.
Do some coaching.
What?
I'm going to push you a little bit and you're going to respond.
But because of their reaction to it, and here's my little boomerang bit, which you would never let me get to, because of the coaching, that now swings back to how good Arsene Wenger was as a manager, putting that squad of players together. He just couldn't get the best out of them as a coach, but he knew how good they were, and now a coach has come in and got the best out of them, and that should be Wenger should be praised for that, because people criticise that squad a lot. They're a damn good squad.
Okay, I've got two little things to add into this, and we'll just close this off. Leno, very good.
Yeah. Same from week one, didn't we? We said right from week one that the minute they got rid of Cech and brought in Bernd Leno, they would improve.
That's the one
thing. And it's hugely improved.
Second, Arsenal considered one of the best attacking forces in the league.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I would say so. You've got...
we haven't mentioned Ozil yet either.
Yeah, well, right. Yeah. This does lead us on to Ozil then. Yeah, because of the attacking players. Ozil was left out of this game, and when Emery was asked why, was he injured? So he said, he's not injured. We thought this game was going to be too demanding for him.
And we've seen those type of performances, and back to the scapegoat.
I can't tell if I like that.
Scapegoat sort of way of thinking. If that were happened, then like
I can't work out if I like his comment or not. I can't.
I really like it.
I can't work out if you I really like the honesty of it, or I can't work out whether I think that he's hung him out to dry.
Or
when the German FA
get a reaction.
Did the same thing, they hung him out to dry. The German. So now it's just like I really hope.
He's a bit Mourinho in him.
I just think maybe Ozil may not necessarily be an Arsenal player within a year.
No, because Meza actually does, like, their relationship seems pretty good, right?
Yeah, that's what I mean. I just can't work out which way I feel about it.
Look, it's a longer season. We're just towards the end of November now.
Yeah.
December's always going to be integral. Look, there's kicks in from here into like the beginning of the year. This is like go to. We'll forget this in time. So yeah, that's that.
So yeah, Fulham.
Can I stop you there? I just want to say that there are chocolate oranges available at McColl's tomorrow. It's like a It's 2 for £1.50.
Yeah.
And there's only minimal damage on the boxes.
Oh, okay.
But they're available at McColl's chocolate oranges
tomorrow.
Okay.
Fulham got their first win, didn't they?
Yeah. Mitrovic was back in amongst them.
No one scored more goals in the Premier League this season than Mitrovic. The only person who has is Sergio Aguero.
You love that, don't you?
Yeah, Mitrovic, man. It's like, do you know who is? It's like Rafa Benitez and has just... I mean, look, it might be that he just couldn't get the best out of him as a player, but he must see... I know Fulham have... Look, they're looking
look,
dodgy.
If it doesn't fit. At a certain place.
Mitrovic
would not be the player he is today without those negative things.
No.
You have to go through the hard times to appreciate the good.
You know, Mitrovic is also the record goal scorer for the Nations League competition since its inception.
What?
No one has scored more in the Nations League than Mitrovic. I mean, I know it's only been like six games, but I still think it's worth mentioning.
Yeah, absolutely.
This
could be the start of something really nice for Fulham, because the transition seemed to happen overnight to get Ranieri.
Well.
Yeah,
they
absolutely.
The sacking well.
With respect as well.
Yeah, well, they did it with during the international break. They could, I think,
get
other
that
clubs.
Under the rug.
I don't necessarily believe that getting rid of him was the most sensible idea. However, if you are going to get rid of a manager when you're down that low, do it well before the January transfer window, and try and do it on an international break. And try and do it when you're playing Southampton next, because Southampton are the worst side in the league.
Awful. And they needed that. That was a great game.
I cannot.
They're playing better than they have been.
I thought,
that, you know, the VAR Charlie with the red eye barking was...
Yeah,
like,
they were all right. But look, just from a footballing perspective, they are dire. And I can't wait for them to be back in the Championship. I really can't.
I'm glad Ranieri's back anyway.
Ranieri's, he came back and he, you know, when he said, I liked his honesty as well, saying about their... He told the players to get the ball into the box as often as possible, because Mitrovic is so good in the air. It's like, yes, of course he is. Mitrovic.
If you retired, did a good job for a while, and you retired, and then I was there, and I was like, oh, I got some money for you because you're leaving. How much would you think would be fair? If you brought millions to the Premier League and you did a good job, would you like that sort of type of party?
Yeah.
You'd enjoy it. Just
come on.
That'll be all right?
Yeah, all right,
you think? All right, that's good. Well, then we're with you. We think it should. We definitely don't think it should go to grassroots football. Definitely not cipher through the system. I think a pen or a watch would be nice.
Yeah.
Instead.
Yeah,
not as much.
Yeah,
but maybe,
I mean, it's a lot of money.
Maybe a Rolex would be too. More than that, probably.
It is a lot of money that they were trying to give him.
Yeah. We are already aware that not enough goes into like grassroots football.
There's so little.
Saturday league, Sunday league, whatever.
Grassroots football up close. I think a lot of people have, you know,
to the root.
Yeah, you see it very, very close, and you see what these teams are having to play on, and the fact that you've got sides that are winning cup competitions that we know of, that needs backing and financing from private companies.
Anything.
Yeah, it's like, you know, the struggle of it is real. So then when you've got clubs at the top rich enough to give $5 million each to Scudamore, you think, well, why can't you put... Why can't you put that money into
youth
football or
there's
or
a mass debate
football.
Over it right now. Mm. So it's just gonna, you know, continue on. But everyone gets a bit tetchy with money, but then you have to realise that it is a money game, and Scudamore was he's had a massive impact. Seems like a decent guy as well.
He's not but I just think he's 30 million impact.
Hi, I'm Sydney, and when I'm not playing the flute, I'm listening to the FIFA Ramble. This is my flute mix.
Should we go... Sorry, do you want to slow us?
No,
I'll do it. We're going Trans-European Express.
Well, we're also going... hasten to add...
Should we go there first?
Okay, we're going Trans-European Express, but we're ending it on... Gary's tiny plane across the South America.
Yeah.
No, so let's start
one of us.
Trans-European
so we'd have to
Express.
Wait for you to come back and then go.
Yeah, we got all the time in the world.
Do you want to go? Do you want to go to Europe first?
Yeah, let's go to Europe. Let's go to Italy.
Italy. Do you want? Should we talk Juve?
Before we talk Juve, let's talk.
We forgot our cheek things.
The little. Damn. The little. The red marks that
the red
players
marks
are wearing
all the players. Marketing wise, that is golden. That's
yeah,
good.
It is really good. It is golden.
Everyone participated.
They did. It was nice that you could see. It was interesting from a sort of standpoint of seeing widely respected players. Some people could see there was a little bit of. Some people were sort of saying that they were using it as just a marketing ploy. Sort of is, but then also to see players of that level and that calibre and the whole league agreeing and them going, and they're smearing red paint on their face in a stand against the violence, domestic abuse against women. You know, that was what the mark was signifying. I think it's smeared lipstick, I think it's meant to signify. So it's, you know, a campaign against domestic abuse. And Serie A did that. The whole league, every official, every player wore a red mark on their cheek this weekend. And you just think, okay, yes, it's a marketing ploy, but imagine the power of that. The power
That impact that can make.
Even...
That's so cool.
It's, that the power of that, that the whole league went... You know, so you've got players
it got
like...
picked up, it went... Like,
yeah,
got
you've
up
got...
By news items...
It's unreal. It's incredible that it's happened again. And it's, I think it should, shouldn't be undervalued that. Yes, it's a marketing ploy, but the power behind that gesture is immense. It's unreal.
No, it is really.
The amount of eyes on that.
Loads of eyes.
Yeah.
Another one.
Another one is Juventus. Mario Mandzukic. I think I love him.
Do you think?
I think I'm in love.
More than Glenn Murray.
Yes. No, I do like Glenn Murray, but Mario Mandzukic.
Mandzukic has proved.
He's taken
proven,
the,
stepped up.
Well, he's taken the Benzema role, you know, in the at Real Madrid, and they're very different players. But at Real Madrid, the difference was they. Ronaldo and Benzema had this relationship, so Benzema would open up space for Ronaldo, and it would be his job to open that space, and he was amazing at it, and. There were stories at the start of Ronaldo at Juventus that he wasn't getting that same kind of, you know, relationship going with the players. So there's no one to do his, I'll create the gap over there, that Benzema used to do. But Ronaldo hasn't been playing the Nations League games for Portugal. And Mario Mandzukic is obviously retired from Croatia. So they've actually stayed behind together and trained on their own during the international breaks.
Yeah.
And they've... developed this amazing partnership.
A bond,
It's very interesting to watch because neither of them is an out-and-out centre-forward, really. They can both play there. They're not out-and-out centre-forwards.
It's really beneficial to have, but they're both to a high ilk of performer and they can, they'll just be fine, whatever. But developing that relationship...
It makes me wonder, see, how... I know that they
that Allegri realised that he had to make room for Ronaldo coming in, so Higuain was the one who had to leave.
Yeah, makes sense.
But
recoup your money.
It makes me wonder what Higuain would make of this side if he still played in it.
Because he's that out and out.
Yeah, it's weird. It's because the part of me
that, probably make that move because you've got Dybala.
Yeah, well, this is the thing. You've got Dybala, you've got Cuadrado, another one of the underrated players. You've got, you know, further back, you've got Pjanic, but you've got Mandzukic, Ronaldo, Dybala, yeah, Cuadrado. You've got Bernadeschi as well on the bench. All of those players, and you think, how could they ever possibly fit a centre-forward in there? You know, they could barely fit Paulo Dybala in there.
But, like, that's the happeners of Juve. That's why we love them.
It's what a squad. Mm-hmm. And what a squad of players that is.
Yeah.
And especially Pjanic and Bentancur as well. And players like Daniele Rugani.
Again, they'll be through in the last 16 as well.
Links for them making moves for De Gea today.
Well, you know, like, if your mindset was the same as De Gea, it's just like...
Yeah.
I can only do so much.
Yeah.
For seasons on end. Four seasons.
David De Gea is now looking at those two offers and just go, if it's true, and being like, so you're telling me you could pay me this amount of money and I'd have in front of me Chiellini and Bonucci? I can have that much money and have Chiellini and Bonucci in front of me, or I can stay here on this and I'll have Chris Smalling in front of me.
And he keeps whipping me with his hair. It's really annoying.
What do you think he's going to do?
I'll just say it again.
Yeah. Copa Libertadores.
Copa Libertadores. Frankie De Torres.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying.
It's pathetic. Shambles the Copa Libertadores was.
I would say that is.
Imagine driving a bus that's covered in Boca stickers down the main street where the River Plate fans are drinking.
Can you imagine?
I mean, all right. I mean, look, for those who didn't see, just
and then motorbikes around it. Like, there's no disruption there. A motorbike can help a weary crowd, can't it?
Just for those who may not be aware, the Copa Libertadores was between Boca Juniors and River Plate, who are, to say they're rivals is an understatement. They drew the first leg 2-2, and this was the return leg at River Plate Stadium, Monumental. And they drove the Boca bus past all the River Plate players, fans, and the fans destroyed the bus. Now, it's not...
Shambolic.
Yeah, it was unbelievable that they did it, because basically, Carlos Tevez got tear gassed by River Plate fans. Like, that's how serious this rivalry is. They've got tear gas on them.
They're
taking tear gas to a game.
I just think it's something needs to change there, because none of that's worth it. Like, no rivalry like that. Like, you don't see it over here. I know it's more passionate.
They smash
the
windows in.
But it's just, there should be more common sense with that stuff. You shouldn't be seen in the modern game. There's no place for it.
Boca did it the same, though. Boca fans, you know the plastic tunnels that players come out of? The Boca fans somehow managed to cut a hole in the tunnel that the River Plate players were coming out of and pumped homemade tear gas into it.
Homemade,
yeah.
Do you know
that's last year? Homemade. They made homemade tear gas, and tear gassed the River Players last season, and now the River Players
soup,
have done
homemade
it to Boca.
Homemade chutney, homemade bread. Share it, enjoy it, embrace it.
That's all I'm saying is how if you explain to somebody who didn't like football, if you say how many tear gas episodes do you reckon they're going to be in football, they'd probably go tear gas. Well, none. And they're like, well, actually, there's been two in the last year.
Do you think those players a few of them actually get on with each other as well?
Maybe. Carlos Tevez said that no one came to see him. No, none of the River players went to the dressing room to see how they were. They knew what had happened, but he said none of them have come.
None of them bothered.
No, and he said FIFA and the CONMEBOL, I think, the federation that looks after that area. He said they're both forcing us to play this game. It's now going to be played on December the 8th or 9th.
So stupid. So
8th or 9th, and it's not going to be in Argentina.
It's ridiculous.
They're taking
it
out of
the
country.
I'd say it's too far, would you?
I don't know. I can kind of see it. They tear gas the players.
Rolling?
Yeah.
Okay, we're going to do an outro.
Thank you very much.
This is 63. This is great. We're here at Digi Chemistry Studios. every day, we're at the studio. Check it out, Digi Chemistry.
The podcast you just heard was made using Anchor. Ever thought about making your own podcast? Anchor makes it really easy for anyone to get started. It's a one-stop shop for recording, hosting, and distributing podcasts. Best of all, it's 100% free. Sign up now at anchor.fm/new. That's anchor.fm/new to get started.